in just a few weeks, everyone will be gathering at the home of someone for Thanksgiving. For many years, Thanksgiving has been a national holiday. But the reality is that Thanksgiving should be a part of our lives every single day. Throughout this month, we are going to be focusing on gratitude, both in Sunday morning and in our Wednesday Bible study. This Wednesday, we are going to be looking at that little statement that is frequently part of how we respond in worship. It goes like this: God is good. All the time. But what does that mean? And what are we saying when we declare that God is good? That will be our focus Wednesday evening. Today we are going to be looking at this subject. Just how thankful am I? And we are going to be evaluating our level of gratitude. Let's begin with a little exercise. Open up your notes, and you'll see two columns. In the first column, list what is absolutely indispensable to you. Okay, six things. Six things that are absolutely indispensable to you. Might be your health, your family, someone or something else. But list six things that are absolutely indispensable to you. Now, in the other column, list six things that you wish were different in your life, or things that you may regret or wish that you could go back and do differently. Six things that you wish were different in your life in whatever way. Something you wish you had, something you wish you didn't have. Something that you wish you could have done differently. Now that you can look back. So, some of the things that you wrote down in the column that you wish were different are really priceless. There's no way to put an amount to them. But let's say, for example, you put down in your indispensable column, my family. Let's say you put down in the column, I wish I was different, I had better health. Let me ask you this. Would you trade your family to get better health? Now, we certainly would trade anything to get our kids' salvation. But there are some things, when we begin to look at the value of them, that what we have is so indispensable to us that no matter what we might wish we did have, we would not trade. We would not trade away what we do have. It's worth too much. Science tells us that gratitude is good for us. In fact, gratitude has been extensively researched. Many studies and science proves gratitude is good for you. If you were to type in the search bar, gratitude, this is what your search results would look like. Harvard Health. Giving thanks can make you happier. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. UCLA Health, health benefits of gratitude. Practicing gratitude can help with depression, anxiety, and stress. But the benefits of being thankful also include improved sleep and heart health. Psychology Today, 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. Gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. The New York Times, now there's an authoritative source, right? Gratitude is really good for you. Here's what the science shows. Positive Psychology Today, benefits of gratitude, 28 plus surprising research findings. Greater Good, the science of a meaningful life, how gratitude changes you and your brain. Research.com, 35 scientific benefits of gratitude. Mental health research findings. Do you want the list? Write down what stands out to you. Benefits of gratitude: improves sleep, lowers high blood pressure, prevents overeating, motivates exercise, strengthens immune system, improves pain tolerance, helps control glucose levels, extends lifespan, helps patients with heart illness, boosts self-confidence, improves patience, improves resiliency, reduces envy and jealousy, increases optimism, makes one less materialistic, makes one more forgiving, helps battle depression, helps in recovery addiction, enhances vitality, enhances spirituality, improves mood, helps manage grief, puts negative memories in a more positive light, contributes to happiness, strengthens romantic relationships, improves relationships with friends, strengthens family support, fosters a healthy social network, improves workplace retention, enhances productivity, builds camaraderie among work colleagues, enhances management capabilities, improves decision-making skills, cultivates a sense of fulfillment, improves the working environment. 35 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. What I'm wondering is, if gratitude has so many beneficial effects, why is the United States in such a health crisis? Why do we have so many people who are dependent upon drugs for their sense of well-being, needing therapy? Why do we have such a high suicide rate in the United States? If gratitude is so beneficial, Robert Emmons is a key proponent in the field of gratitude research. He is responsible for many, many studies that have been done on the benefits of gratitude. And he says that gratitude has 2 core components. The first is an affirmation of goodness. And the second is an acknowledgement that the sources of that goodness are outside of ourselves. James put it like this: every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Now, a couple of notes for you before we look at a few specifics. First of all, in the Psalms, the Hebrew word yada is translated thanks in some versions, like the ESV, the English Standard Version, and praise in others, like the NIV. Both are correct. Yada is a root word for words that describe a range of expression to Yahweh, esteeming Him for His majesty, His power, His ability, as well as representing the verse that we used for worship of giving, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, a song of thanksgiving, all come from this root word yada, that means both praise and thanks. Now, in the New Testament, written in Greek, there are two primary words for thanks or thanksgiving. The first is charis. Charis is the word for grace. Also, the root word for gracious. And the second word is eucharistia, from which we get our English word Eucharist, or, as we better know it, communion. Both of those words are used prolifically throughout the New Testament for thanks, charis and eucharistia. It is that word eucharistia that is used when the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ?" Later in our service, we are going to be coming to, shall we say, the table of thanksgiving. By virtue of eating and drinking the cup for which Jesus gave thanks on the night He was betrayed, we are participating in, we are thanking Him for His life for us. So again, back to my question. If there are so many marvelous benefits from gratitude, why do we have so many issues that are the opposite of those benefits? Well, it begins, first of all, with this issue. Let me ask a question. How many of you are ungrateful people? I just hate life. I hate everything. I hate everybody. There's nothing good in my life. Everything stinks. Anyone? Okay, how many of you would say, I'm a grateful person? Okay, some of you are not. I would like to see you after the service. And we will lay hands on you and pray for you. So, every one of us sitting here today believe that we are thankful people, that we are grateful people. But when we think about and evaluate our gratitude, we need to begin with this understanding, first of all, that being a thankful person is more than just thinking you are a thankful person. Being a thankful person is more than just thinking that you are a thankful person. Just because I believe that I am may not make it so. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture, most of which I will share with you that you do not have before you. But I want you to listen with me. First of all, from Leviticus 22 and verse 29. Leviticus is a wonderful book about all the offerings and sacrifices that the people were supposed to bring to the Lord. being the distinctive people of God, a holy people because God was holy, how to approach Him, how to live in relationship with Him. And crucial to that relationship and the offerings that they brought to the Lord were offerings of thanksgiving. How do you say thank you to the one that delivered you out of slavery? How do you say thank you to the one that brought you through the Red Sea and saved you from being annihilated, saved you from genocide? How do you thank the one who every day provides food for you, and when there is no water, He splits open a rock, and from that rock pours forth sufficient water? How do you thank such a one? Well, part of the worship was to bring a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. But the Lord gave these instructions. That's why you read this in quotes. It is the Lord speaking. And when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted, or that it will be accepted on your behalf. There is a right way and there is a wrong way, and just because I bring an offering to the Lord does not make it a true expression of my thanksgiving. Now, let me give you a little more background. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 17, we read these words. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Now, let's flesh that out with a bit of context. David wanted to build a temple to worship the Lord. Why? Because that was God's desire. He had told his people all the way back when he was giving them the instructions that we just read from Leviticus while they were still in the desert, when you get to the place where I will set my name, I want there to be a place of worship for me. Years and years had gone by, centuries. And that desire of God to have a place among His people where they could come and meet with Him was still unfulfilled. David wanted desperately to build that temple for the Lord. But God said, no, you are a man of war. It will be your son who is a man of peace. But you're going to get everything ready. And so what God did was download to David the blueprints. They were copies of the heavenly temple. And so when David then went further and set in order the worship, it was all part of the plans that God gave him. It wasn't David's good idea that we have some people that will bring thanksgiving to the Lord. No, it was an idea of heaven. When the temple was dedicated by Solomon, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13, it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Let me tell you what happened on that day when they did. As they gave thanksgiving to the Lord, the glory of God came down in the form of a cloud, like the Israelites had experienced it way back in the desert. It overpowered the priest, and no one could continue to minister because the presence and the glory of God had filled the place. God came in response to thanksgiving. Now let's fast forward a number of centuries. Because the people failed to follow God, they replaced Him with idols. They replaced His laws with the customs and the ways of the world around them. And remember, they did not keep the Sabbath. They did not tithe, and they did not set aside the seventh year for the Lord. We've talked about this many times. So God sent them into captivity. They were deported from the land. 70 years God had decreed. God added up every single seventh year when they decided they weren't going to trust the Lord. Instead, they were going to make money off of the land. God added up every single one. It totaled 70 years. For 490 years, they had failed to honor the Lord. God kept record. 70 years, they were in captivity in Babylon. Finally, they came back. Came back, first of all, under Ezra, and then Nehemiah came back for the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. And the book of Nehemiah is the story of all that transpired in the rebuilding of those walls. It was a monumental task. There were many people who were opposed. But finally, the job was accomplished. Nehemiah chapters 11 and especially chapter 12 are very important chapters. It is a case study for us in understanding Thanksgiving. Nehemiah put back in place everything that David had established that the people had discarded along the way because it just didn't fit in to their schedules and their plans. Here's what we read. Chapter 11 and verse 7. He appointed a director who led in thanksgiving and prayer. Chapter 12 and verse 8. Those who were in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. Chapter 12 and verse 24. Listen. They were appointed to give praise and thanksgiving as prescribed, quote, by David, the man of God. Chapter 12 and verse 27. Levites who were in the countryside were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully with songs of thanksgiving. Nehemiah further assigned two large choirs to give thanks. Chapter 12 and verse 31. One choir was to go this way around the wall. The other choir was to go this way around the wall, singing and giving thanks to the Lord. Chapter 12 and verse 40, the two choirs that gave thanks took their places and commenced to lead the people in giving thanks. And then these words in chapter 12 and verse 46. When it was recorded that, listen, long ago, in the days of David, there had been directors for the songs of thanksgiving. That is a sad note. The people had backslidden from the way of worship that David had prescribed because God gave him a template of worship in heaven. They were too busy. Other things needed to be done. Is it really that necessary? I need to get going. I don't have time to do that ministry. Long ago in the days of David, long ago, for hundreds of years, the people had decided that it really wasn't all that important to thank God the way that he was supposed to be thanked, in a manner that was befitting him. Anything will do. It led them into big trouble. In Psalm 50 and verse 23, Psalm 50 is a psalm where God takes issue with his people because they made covenant with him, but they were not faithful in that covenant. And he said to them at the end of that psalm, when you sacrifice a thank offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. What does Psalm 100 in verse 4 tell us? If you need a prompt, you'll know it when I tell you, enter His gates with thanksgiving. What does that mean for us? When you walk through the door on a Sunday morning, your heart should already be filled with thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. If it isn't, you haven't prepared properly. In Psalm 107, verses 31 to 32, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. Let me say just once again, as you have heard me say numerous times, you can't be the Christian that you are supposed to be and not be part of the body of Christ. You can't be the Christian you are supposed to be and not come and gather with the people of God. It is good, it is necessary for you in your private time of worship to give thanks to the Lord. But your thanksgiving is incomplete unless you exalt Him in the assembly of the people and in the council of the elders. Number two, in other words, you and I can't assume that we are thankful. We must show that we are thankful. We must demonstrate and prove that we are thankful. Psalm 9 and verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I can't just say that I am thankful. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. During the course of this month, we are going to be singing that very familiar song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. That song has its basis in Psalm 9 and verse 1. Psalm 56 and verse 6, with a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 57 and verse 9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Psalm 79 and verse 13, but we will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Do you understand the principle that is behind that statement? Parents, you are to raise grateful children who will be aware of the goodness of God and who will be equipped and motivated to give thanks to the Lord from generation to generation. Psalm 111, verse 1. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation. There we have it again. You need to be with the people of God. Amen. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Ha! You see, I can't really say I'm a thankful person if I don't study the works of God so that I can praise Him for who He is and what He's done. There is a deficiency to my level of gratitude if I do not delight in learning more about God so that I might praise Him with a greater degree of thanksgiving than what I do now. Amen. I just can't say. I need to show it. Thirdly, Thanksgiving or thankfulness is a very fundamental, a very basic and important test of whether we honor or dishonor God. Chibwezi. Thankfulness is a fundamental test of whether we honor or dishonor God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, we read these words, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." There are a lot of implications in that verse. Let's unpack them for just a moment. First of all, just by reading this verse, we can see that thankfulness or unthankfulness is a choice. We choose to give thanks to God, or we choose not to give thanks to God. I'm afraid that the words of this verse might apply to many Christians sitting in a church, as well as to people who refuse to follow Jesus Christ. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or give thanks. Thankfulness is a choice. And therefore, our lack of thankfulness or a deficiency in thankfulness is a choice to dishonor God. If I don't make thankfulness a priority in my life, I choose to dishonor God. Look at the results. Some of the things that we read about the scientific benefits of gratitude come back to us as we are looking at this, the outcome of not giving thanks to God. It results in faulty, futile, and foolish thinking. I am no stranger to depression. You know that. Depression's a dark place. If thanksgiving and gratitude helps with depression, I need to be increasing my level of thanksgiving so that I don't go to that darkened place as easily as the chemistry in my body and my makeup is inclined to go. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful." That verse has always been intriguing for me. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, all of Hebrews has served the purpose of contrasting the old ineffective covenant with the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And everything that the old could not do to make people right with God, to change their hearts, to bring them fully into a relationship with God, has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. The old covenant had priests that died off. One after another, they had to be replaced. Some were good, some were bad. But we have a high priest who lives forever, who is able to save to the uttermost because he always lives to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. Right now, Jesus is interceding for this congregation, that we will have ears to hear today, that our hearts will be changed by His living word. Interceding for you as you go about your business through the week. There He is, praying for you. What a priceless gift we have been given. A better priest, a better covenant, with better promises that bring a better hope. All of those are listed in Hebrews. Now that the writer to Hebrews says, since we have been given so much, let's be thankful. Why didn't he say a lot of other things like, Let's live holy lives. And certainly, we are exhorted in Hebrews to live holy lives. Any number of things that he might have said, but he zeroed in on, let us be thankful. In light of what God has done for you, more than anything else, you and I should be noted for being thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. I cannot worship God acceptably unless it includes thanksgiving. Nor will I know the fear of the Lord and be in awe of God unless I am also thankful. Thankfulness is a fundamental test of whether I honor or dishonor God. And fourthly, thankfulness should be conspicuous. Thankfulness should be conspicuous. Psalm 44 and verse 8. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I love this one. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for everything God created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, parents, how many of you have heard your kids say, oh, are we having that again? Or, that's not what I wanted. I want something else to eat. Anyone? What does this verse tell us? The only appropriate response when something is set before you is to say, thank you. Now, Let me insert this, that I really don't understand why your kids would feel like that. Because in youth group, when we ask, if you were stranded on a desert island and there was just one thing that you could have every day, what would it be? And unanimously, the response was rice. Can you imagine nothing but rice in the morning, rice at lunch, rice for dinner, rice for a snack before you went to bed, get back up in the morning, rice? I would bet that it wouldn't be long before they would be like the children of Israel in the desert saying, ah, this again? But friends, it is a test of our thankfulness. If it is set before us, thank you. One final picture for us. Not just verses of Scripture, but a picture. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle John is recording the scene that is before him in heaven. And he writes about the four living creatures, the four Zoa. And he writes that day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and worships him who lives forever and ever. Now remember, this point that we're looking at is that thankfulness should be conspicuous. And I ask you, how conspicuous is thankfulness in heaven? Look at the words that are used, the time words. First of all, day and night. Secondly, whenever. Multiple times, forever and ever. In other words, thanksgiving to God in heaven never, ever stops. Why? Because heaven is in such amazement of who God is. There are continuous revelations of this infinite God that amazes them. And so they continue to worship and to praise him. Thanksgiving is very conspicuous in heaven. And if you and I have heaven in our hearts, it will be conspicuous for us as well. Do you think that you are as grateful as you thought you were? If we were to take our gratitude temperature this morning, a little thankfulness health checkup, would you say yes or no to the question, did you begin this day with a specific time of gratitude? Or how many days of this past week did you begin with a specific time of gratitude? How often did your family come together to recognize the goodness of God and to say thanks to him? How many times a day do you figure that you say thank you, beginning with your family? Do you exercise your mind or your gratitude muscles by counting your blessings every day? I've included for you a way for us to put gratitude into practice this week. So look at that paper with me. Living out gratitude. One author wrote that thankfulness is the beginning of gratitude. Gratitude is the completion of thankfulness. Thankfulness may consist merely of words. Gratitude is shown in Acts. Long before he wrote those words, the Apostle John wrote, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." It's not a matter of whether or not I say thank you to God. It's really a matter of how do I show thank you to God. So a few things for us to put into practice this week. First of all, when you wake up, before your feet hit the floor, before you reach for your phone or do anything else, look back at yesterday and give thanks to God for 10 specific things. Don't get out of bed without thanking God for his goodness to you in the previous day. Every day, tell each and every member of your household, specifically and individually, how much you love and appreciate them. Oh, they know I love them. Tell them. Tell them. And make it specific and individual. Look them in the eye. Give them time. Be present before them every single one. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents, every single day. Would you want to be without them? Don't take them for granted. Every day, put this into practice this week. Every day, spend at least 10 minutes as a family, recounting God's blessing and giving thanks to Him for His goodness to you as a family. Do you know that the Mayo Clinic thinks that gratitude is so important that they have a 30-day course that you can sign up to begin to develop your capacity for gratitude and make it a practice of every single day. And part of it includes taking 15 minutes a day to be thankful for specific things. Now, if the secular health world thinks that 15 minutes a day is important to well-being, to your mental and physical health, surely the people of God would say, He's worth 10 minutes. Don't you think so? I'll be checking next Sunday. Develop the skill of responding to every negative emotion or incident with micro moments of gratitude and worship. This is what I'm working on. So I'm driving down the road, and some idiot endangers me or my family. Boy, that boils my blood. Lord, I thank You. I feel my blood pressure go up. I feel my body tense. Someone in your family says something to you that is abrasive. How do you respond in your spirit with a micro moment of thanksgiving to God? Don't let yourself go there and be on the same page. Worship the Lord in that moment. Rather than yielding to the flesh, we set our attention on the Lord. And finally, before you go to sleep, honor the Lord by listing 10 things that you recognize about His character. Now, in the morning, you will look back at yesterday and thank Him for His goodness to you. Thank You for protecting me and my family. Thank You for bringing my kids safely home from school. Thank You for being with my husband as he drove the cab all day. But in the evening, it's all about the Lord. Psalm 7 and verse 17, the psalmist said, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness. Study the works of the Lord as we read in the Psalms this morning, so that you can say to the Lord, Lord, I give thanks to You because You are this, that, something else that You have learned in Scripture, that You have experienced of His character in your own life. Lord, I thank You because You are full of grace. Where would you and I be if God had only allocated a certain amount of grace for us for our lifetimes? No. We experience His continuous grace. Lord, I thank You because You are patient. You're not like me. I thank You and praise You, O God, because You are holy. There is nothing that will ever corrupt You, nothing that will ever diminish You. You will always be true. You will always be right. And therefore, I know that You will always be faithful to me. Ah, there is so much that we can say in praise and honor to the Lord. Don't go to sleep with the last thing being that you are looking at your phone. May heaven know that you went to sleep having just been before the throne of grace, yes, with the angels, the 24 elders, and the four living creatures worshiping the Lord for who He is. Amen. Amen.
Let's do it.
Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and everything that you've done for me. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for unfailing love. Thank you for your grace that is greater than my sin. Thank you for being plenteous in mercy. Thank you for not dealing with me according to my sins or rewarding me according to my iniquities. Thank you for loving me with a love that is infinite, immeasurable, higher than the heavens, deeper than the oceans. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are so good, so faithful. You keep no record of wrongs. You are unfailing, always hoping, always believing, always interceding. Holy Spirit, you are the one who guides us into all truth. And I pray that you would guide us this week into the truth of what we have shared today. May we be conspicuously, wherever we are, whether in school, on the job, in the store, a people that are thankful.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, teach us to replace every complaint, every irritation and irritability, every sense of self, with an offering of thanksgiving to the Lord. With an awareness of his goodness and his faithfulness. Father, I pray that every spiritual benefit of thanksgiving, especially the fact that it authenticates my people as truly your children.
Praise the Lord.
But every other benefit as well, that we have read and listed this morning, I pray that my congregation will experience every benefit of gratitude.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And Father, may we be known by everyone who knows us, meets us, encounters us, as a people who are always finding something for which to express our thankfulness. Yeah.